Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Today, my guest is Leroy Hamp of the Christian metal band War of Ages. I know you guys are going to love this one, so let's just jump into the call.
Okay, I've got Leroy Hamp from War of Ages on the line. How you doing, man?
What's up, Cindy? How are you?
I'm doing well.
I haven't seen you in a little while.
It's been a minute. I think the last time we saw each other was, what, Europe?
Yeah, Germany.
We'll talk about that later, but first...
You come from a long line of screaming metal frontmen that on stage look pretty fierce, but you're kind of a teddy bear.
Yeah, so I pastored a church. There's actually a couple there that are on the worship team, and they said, you know, Leroy, the first, like, 3 months we were going to this church, we had no idea that you were even in a band that screamed. And it was actually a band that, like, had some things going on, you know. They said, and that just speaks to the character of your heart, because you never once mentioned anything about War of Ages. I made it a point early on in the career of War of Ages. I didn't want to be Leroy of War of Ages. I just wanted to be Leroy. And War of Ages was just kind of its thing ministry-wise, where I could just minister to people that have broken or come from troubled pasts or whatever. So when I have my home life, you know, per se, I'm just dad, pastor, business owner, you know, whatever hat I'm wearing at that time. And then every now and then I go out and, you know, I become that superhero L-train of War of Ages.
Pretty cool.
My uncle actually had that conversation with me. He's like, early on, before we even changed the name to War of Ages, he's like, Lebo, he calls me Lebo. He's like, Lebo, you need to make a stage persona. And that's what you stick with. On stage, you become that. Off stage, you're back to Leroy. And I took it to heart. You know, I was like, okay, L-Train, that guy on stage, crazy buffoon that jumps all over people. That's L-Train.
Okay. A lot of people have been hit by that train.
Yeah. Okay. I've been dropped by a lot of people on that train, so.
You got to prepare the crowd before you jump.
Oh, yeah. And I try to explain it. Listen, I'm going to walk on your shoulders. Okay, before I was like swan dive out there.
Right.
Yeah, now these days I'm like, I'm going to like carefully walk on your shoulders.
No spring chicken.
Yeah, you drop me, I'm getting hurt. All of us are getting hurt.
The show will be over.
Yes.
You guys have been one of the most consistent faith-based metal bands out there. Tell me a little bit about your history. I know you've been around since the early 2000s. Tell me kind of a short history of the band.
So when we started, there wasn't very many of us. There wasn't a lot of metal bands. There was some like heavier bands that were Christian bands. But there wasn't a lot. And, one of the things we wanted to do is we loved metal and we loved like more of the European In Flames inspired like type metal, or Swedish metal is what they call it. So we just wanted to have a band that played that style of music. And I grew up hardcore. Our guitarist Steve grew up with all the Metallica and, you know, In Flames and Soilwork and all that stuff. So he brought the melodic element. I was a hardcore kid. So I was into like Hatebreed and all these like hardcore bands that played breakdowns and beatdowns and whatever downs, you know, that's kind of what we merged together. And the one thing that we both had said was we were both believers, and we were like, you know what? The one thing about it is the lyrics. Like, the lyrics aren't great, with the exception of Hatebreed. Positive lyrics, whatever else. But we wanted like believing Christianity influenced lyrics, and something that like my mom could listen to lyrically and be like, okay. Yeah, I get your roots, you know. So we started War of Ages. It was actually Beyond Recognition. Then it became Point Zero, because it was more just, we did not expect to do anything crazy with it. It was just play our local town kind of thing. And I play the local bars or whatever else, because those are the kids and people we wanted to minister to. So we started playing all that stuff, and we just made up names, and we were just like, yeah, this is cool. But then when we started getting a little more serious and had interest from labels, we were like, man, we want to pick a name that like actually represents who we are. And so we changed the name to War of Ages. And that was about 2003, maybe 2004. Got signed to Strike First, which is a branch of Facedown, or was a branch of Facedown Records. It was kind of like the JV team to Facedown Records.
Mm-hmm.
And we signed to them, kind of show them what we got. And then as soon as we were signed, we did an album, because we won a battle of the bands and won some studio time. So we did an album, put it out on Strike First, and then just started touring. Like, we just started jumping on any tour we could. we'd be like stranded in the middle of nowhere with no tour, but we just started calling places and playing shows. And, you know, we had no family and no attachments. So we just played as much as we could. But the whole thought of in our heads was one, to be in a band, and number two, to like minister to the broken. So therefore the lyrics reflected that, always have. The whole warrior, spiritual warfare mentality that we've had across our lyrics has been an ongoing theme. And then the artwork representing that as well. So, you know, that's kind of been the stick of our band. Not perfect, definitely not perfect, but we've learned a lot through this band, you know, in terms of like how the industry works, how to be in a band with a bunch of rotating members, and how dealing with Christianity and accountability and all those things through the band too. But we've learned a lot through it, and, you know, still learning. But one thing that we can honestly say is our lyrical content has been intact. The original goal of the band was to minister to people, and we've been effectively able to do that. We want to continue that mindset, whether we tour consistently or whether we, you know, pull back from touring a little bit here, or whenever we play, we just want to minister to the broken. And that's Christian, non-Christian. That doesn't never really matter to us whether we played a bar or a church. You know, we just want to minister to, you know, whoever is willing, and whoever the Lord softens as far as heart goes. So that's how we started. That's why we started. And here we are.
And no, you're still with Face Down, right?
Yeah, we have not jumped ship, but they take care of us over there, and it makes sense as far as like contract, the business side makes sense. And that's not to say that we wouldn't ever leave. There'd have to be a really good reason for us to leave. They treat us good. We're good with it.
When the door shuts, you always know it.
Yep, truth.
Your lyrics, I mean, they have been consistent. How has your music changed over the years, or has it?
I mean, our music has changed and developed. I would hope that every album kind of develops. You write what you feel. Music is a reflection of self. Lyrical content, I mean, we follow a basic theme, but the basic theme is we want to reach the lost. We want to talk about real life issues, and we want to minister to people. I really kind of try to stay out of the political arena. I've never been a political band. So, as far as musically goes, I mean, our members are growing as musicians as well. The industry's growing and changing. So I feel like we were probably ultra hardcore / melodic in the beginning. And then we kind of went a little more melodic than hardcore. And then we kind of dove into, you know, way more metal than even melodic. And then jumped into like now there's a lot of, I guess, the newer school, like I guess they call it djent. All I say to my guys is like, listen, let's just write. You know, let's just write what song we're feeling. And then I'll throw some lyrics to it.
There you go.
We just go into a song, we write it, and then it's like, sick, that sounds cool. Here's some lyrics, you know. And we have very skilled musicians in the band. Steve, obviously a very melodic writer. Jack is a lot of the new school stuff. Elijah, our bass player, is probably the best guitarist in our band, but he plays bass for the band. And then Luby is like extremely phenomenal drummer, very metal drummer. And they all come from different backgrounds in music. So, yeah, sometimes it's a challenge to write, but you know, we do well with each other, and it flows and changes and develops. So I would say from our first album, which was like the self-titled, released on Strike First, to, you know, the latest release, which is probably No Alters or Let's Go Void, because we haven't released the EP yet. But I would say the development from Void from the self-titled is very different. So. You know, but it molded, it kind of developed that way.
One of the things I notice about the entire band is it's like it just looks so easy. It looks so effortless.
They do. I honestly can't.
But they still go hard.
Yeah. There's a breakdown at the very end and No Alters, actually. We're rehearsing for this weekend, and it's not even tough. Like, there's like a lot of stuff going on. It's just very heavy, like picking pattern. And like, they're totally like focused. Yeah. And I'm like, singing the breakdown, you know, because it's like a little chant part at the end, and I'm watching their faces, and they're so like focused on like this breakdown. And I know when it comes to live, and they're so used to doing it, they'll just do it effortlessly. And I can tell, I'm like, this is a challenge for them. I can actually see the challenge on their faces. You know, like their hand is moving a million miles a minute trying to play this breakdown. Yeah, they're just skilled. I'm blessed. I'm truly blessed to be in a band with such skilled musicians.
Well, if you could talk to the early 2000s Leroy, what would you tell him?
I would tell the early 2000s Leroy to just, bro, be patient. Just keep your mouth shut. Like I said, we go through waves of emotions. You know, I can remember there was times when when pride overtook, even though I sung against pride, you know, to where we deserve mentality that every band goes through, you know, just development as a person, as a man in Christ. Don't burn bridges. Love people. And I think we've done a good job at that in general. But if I could go back, I would be like, bro, it's going to be good. You're going to have 5 kids. You're going to be married in a successful marriage. You'll be a pastor of a church and you'll own a business. Relax, dude. You're going to be okay.
All right. We can just get that message back to you.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Backstage with Mothership returns after this. This hour is being made possible by our business ministry partner, Anchor Bolt Express, the place for construction fasteners and a supporter of Christian music and this station. On the web at anchorboltexpress.com. You're listening to Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio.
Tell us about this new song that released June 25th, right?
Yep, June 25th, we released a song called No Altars. I mean, it is exactly what it says in the Bible. The prophets of Baal were building the altar, and Elijah, you know, talking about like, oh, send fire from Baal, try to burn up the altar and set flame to it. And they tried to do that, and obviously it didn't happen. And then he built his own, dumped water, buckets and buckets of water on it, you know, and then calls down fire from heaven, and fire comes, consumes his altar. Consumes their altar and burns all the prophets of Baal alive, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's the concept, is how awesomely powerful our God is and how he can come into any situation and literally, you know, do whatever he wants when he wants. And that is the awesome power of our God. That is what that song's honestly about. I always like love that story, you know, because whenever you're feeling a little down or you're feeling depressed or you're feeling like that your situation's something that is so minute and not able to be handled by God, and you remember that he is all powerful, you know, and his son is all loving. So that is the concept for that song. And lyrically, it just came to me. I was like, you know what? I want to write another song that's like an all-consuming fire kind of song. Except I want to write it from that perspective. So
it's a solid song. I love it. So are we getting more of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, like the songs deal with so many different things. There's another 3 songs. That'll be coming. And they each deal with like a different type of issue or thing. I don't want to give away too much, but you know, lyrically, I'm a fan. And I'm not saying that because like I wrote the lyrics, because honestly, I feel all of them are awe inspired by God. So, I can try to lay claim to the lyrics, but I do believe that they're going to minister to someone. Maybe even if it's one, but that's always been the point of these songs, you know? So a kind of a funny story. I don't want to even say funny story. We toured with this band back in the day. It's on the Phineas tour. I think they were the opener, and they're not a Christian band. In fact, far from it. The bass player hit me up on Instagram about a week and a half ago. And I wrote him back, said, hey, man, you know, here's my phone number. Just text me. You wanted to talk to me. And he ended up texting me about a week ago. And he said, hey, man, I just wanted to let you know that I gave my life to the Lord 3 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome, man. That's incredible. And he said, you know, and I wanted you to know that, like, I always liked War of Ages because I liked you guys musically. He goes, but now I get it. He goes, I get what you guys do. I get why you do it. He goes, I understand your lyrics, you know. He goes, I was invited to a church by a friend. I said, sure, man, I'll go. Well, I guess it was like a, probably like a revival service or something. And he went the first night. He was like, okay, cool. I'll go back the second night. Ended up giving his life to the Lord. And he said, I just wanted to talk to you and tell you that, like, I get it, man, and why you do what you do. And he goes, I liked the music before, but it's a whole new perspective, and I understand it. I just wanted to say thank you. But like literally, that is why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to hear them all the time. And when you get to hear those stories, even as like crazy as War of Ages is, where we dance in the bars and we dance, you know, in the churches, and you hear a lot. You may hear a lot more of those in the CCM Christian world, but you don't hear those often in that other world where you're in and out of the bars, you know, clubs. To hear a story like that about a band that you influenced, you didn't even know you were doing it, but that is literally why you do it. And I always say, you know, maybe an hour, 2 hours to minister to a fan that's at a show. You know, we have months to influence one of the bands we're on tour with, and we have our lives to influence our families and friends. So you got to take each one of those moments to heart. When I got that story, it's like kind of emotional, you know, hearing him give his story and what War of Ages specifically had done for him, you know, and I don't know how we affected him in general. I just know he felt the need to contact me and tell me about, you know, what had happened and how he's made this big change and now he's married and they're having their first child. His wife is saved, you know, now, and they're faithfully attending a church. And he just said, in a good way, my life has been wrecked. That was another thing he said to me. Turned upside down, wrecked in a really good way, you know. And he said, I've been trying to minister to the band, you know, and trying to my friends. And he goes, kind of caused a wedge. So I gave him some encouragement. I said, you know, sometimes we got to go to shallow waters. And you know, we always want to grab them, pull them straight in the deep water. They get saved. It's like, here's what you need to do to change your life. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to remember, sometimes we got to go to shallow water and nurture them and love on them until they're ready for deep water. You know, so yeah, I told him, just go slow. You know, love on them. And you know, sometimes you got to let friends go. But, you know, if you can do it, you can stay strong. But yeah, that was just something that recently happened that you don't get to hear those very often.
What would your life be without music? Would you have gone the pastor route or...
Well, I always loved music. I always was inspired to play music. I think often what my life would have been like without War of Ages, very different. War of Ages has brought me a lot of heartache, but it's also brought me a lot of blessings. It's been a challenge in a lot of ways. Would I trade any of it? I probably would change some things, but that's not the way life works. So I would say that my life would be very drastically different without War of Ages. It's taught me so much about working with people, about loving people and all their backgrounds and all their baggage and all their differences and dealing with people in a way that made me a better pastor. You know, my wife was asking me, we were talking, what would my life be like without War of Ages? Would I have, you know, done things different? I said, well, I wouldn't have met my wife, that's for sure, because she worked for Face Down Records. But, it would have been different. I would have been probably very different. I am who I am because of War of Ages. I don't discount that. It has brought me a lot of responsibility and put me in different situations that I would have never been in because of the notoriety that I have with the band. So yeah, I mean, I'd probably be either a youth pastor or maybe even not a pastor at all, working a 9-to-5. You know, I don't know. I would have been definitely different, married to a different person or not married at all. But it's hard to think that way because I'm so happy. I found joy and I find joy in the Lord, which has brought me 5 wonderful kids. My quiver's full, you know, beautiful, amazing wife, super supportive. So, yeah.
You've got summer festivals going, so we're going to do some tour talk. You mostly do festivals and then maybe some shorter tours now in this season of your life or no?
You know, I never know. I could put like a, yeah, we're not going to tour anymore and just do like a couple of things here and there to, oh, we're just going to do festivals. But I've learned a long time ago that the Lord has complete control of what my life is going to be. All I know is I have 5 kids and a very supportive wife, so it really depends. I don't ever like to say what I'm going to do because I fluctuate. Like, Lord knows my heart. I am like, I'm done touring. You know, I'm just too busy and I'm so tired. You know, and COVID shut down my last tour. We were 80 grand in debt. I hate everyone. And, you know, but honestly, I love the people. I love being able to do what we do. And I still get to do it and turning 40. And I still get to scream my guts out and try to sing while I'm screaming, you know. So
let's talk about that scream. Now, how in the world have you kept that staying power with that scream all these years?
Oh, Lord, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm like, we were literally talking about it today. My voice, I sing a lot at church. And I've gotten very strong vocally as far as melody. It's stronger than I've ever been in that area. So I'm hoping that would transfer over into like when I'm screaming and then I go to try to sing, you know, and I have a very strong voice singing wise, but when you add screaming to that, you're like ripping it to shreds and then trying to hit a note is like the concept of that is so foreign to me, you know, like even though I've done that for a long time, it's like, how is this even a thing? You know, some people can do it, you know, there's a lot of bands out there that like, you know, but it's like usually it's give and take. If they have a really beautiful voice, their scream usually sucks. But if they have like a really awesome scream, their singing voice sucks.
You know? That's when you have one singer that does the screaming and one does the singing.
Yep, exactly. Have a lot of heart in regards to like, I just want to do it all, you know, even though Elisha in our band can sing as well. And so I give them a lot of parts. But every now and then I just want to pop out with a melody. Come on now. You know,
all right. Has the opposite ever happened? You're in the middle of praise and worship and out comes a growl or a bleh.
all the time. Not so much a bleh or a growl. It's always gritty because that's my voice. I've got like a voice that just automatically gets a little gritty. You know? It's like a Thrice meets like, you know, Brandon Lake without the beautiful melody.
Yeah, I'm very glad to hear that.
I would expect no less.
I always joke around with the church. I'm like, I'm thankful that like Elevation and Brandon Lake have been coming out with these like, you know, Graves in the Garden rasp, natural rasp songs, yeah, and kind of commercialize that because I don't have a choice.
It's just what you get, right?
Yep.
Backstage with Mothership returns after this. Check us out on Facebook at I'm with Mothership.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you on stage?
Oh, geez.
Let's say in the last decade.
I have been through every single thing you could think of. Like, what continent? Let's be real.
Let's stick with the U.S.
Start with the U.S. Okay, we played one of our first biggest shows, which was with a band that was like big band at the time of, this is like early 2000s, of like metalcore. One of our first big shows in our local hometown, and we were like just getting started, and you know, we were promised this big show, and it was like packed house. Like I got excited and went to jump off the kick drum, mm-hmm, and it wet, and I slipped and fell into the drums. That was a big embarrassment. So now let's go continent. So Europe. My brother was playing drums and I was having problems with his kick pedal, and I was really frustrated just because it was just a long tour, and we were on a stage that was probably like, I want to say it was like 5 to 7 feet in the air. Big club, big stage, and Alex was on a like 2 foot drum riser above that stage, you know. So I get up on the back, step behind him, and come to find out I took one step and there was no stage.
Oh, no.
Head first, and the only thing that protected me was Terror's backdrop. I slid down it like a slide.
It's like a cartoon.
Yep, I was there, then I was not. And then I'll go back to America. There was another time we were playing with Killswitch Engage, and I got excited again, went to jump off the drum riser, realized as I was jumping off backwards and turning to the front, and I realized I was a little too high. My arms started like kind of flapping, and then all of a sudden I went face first, skid across this front of the stage, and I bounced my head off the front monitor, and I was bleeding, and I got up, didn't miss a beat, felt like an idiot, but didn't miss a beat.
That's metal. And there's blood everywhere.
Yeah. We were on tour with Terror one time, and packed house in Tulsa. I went to jump off the stage. It was the last time I ever jumped off the stage. But we were on a high stage again, and I did, and the crowd was going nuts. Like, they were feeling us. So I'm like, confidence, we're in it. And I went to jump off the stage to my back against the crowd, and they parted like the Red Sea. I fell back first, straight to the ground.
Man.
And I bounced off the, yeah, it was really embarrassing. And then, so I got up, ran around the crowd, ran back up the stairwell on the side, and then came back on stage and just continued.
Oh,
and
my.
Or I would never dive off the stage again. And I did. I've yet to dive off the stage again.
Those are some pretty good stories. What's the best compliment you've ever gotten from a fan?
Okay, so I'm not going to use the vulgar language, but it literally was the coolest comment. You'll get the idea. We were on tour with Bleeding Through. We played bar, and we get done playing, and I go to the bar to get my club soda that I like. And so I got my seltzer water, and I'm sitting there, and this dude is sitting like about 3 seats down, and he's just mean mugging me. Like, he's mean mugging me. And I'm like, I'm already awkward. You know? Like, I'm just trying to enjoy this club soda with my throat all fried, you know, and this dude's just mean mugging me. And I look at him, and I'm just like, what's up, dude? Like, you know, trying to be nice. And he just slides over to me. He pulls out his wallet, okay? And he slides his military ID over to me. And I looked at it. You know, I don't know if he's, like, trying to prove something to me, what he's trying to do. And I go, thanks for your service, man. He shakes his head. Then he proceeds to tell me what military branch and his, like, unit's name. He goes, and what I do is I jump out of planes. And I'm like, sick, dude. He's like, and I want you to know this. Every time my group is in the plane or in the helicopter or whatever he's in, he goes,
we play Strength Within. He goes, we play the entire song before our boots hit that ground. And he goes, and as soon as our boots hit the ground, after that song, we kill every mother effer we see.
My reaction was like, I need to introduce you to every single band member. And so I like brought everyone over. We're talking with this guy and he like lit up like a Christmas tree. I did not expect it, nor have I ever heard anything so crazy in my life of being in a band. I could give you like the token, like it's rare, but like when people like that, my friend that reached out to us, like that stuff's great. And like, that's probably the most important thing. But as far as like, I've only heard it ever once as the craziest thing. Like, I'm just like, our music did that? That was not what I was expecting.
That was not what you were planning to inspire.
One, I was not planning to inspire that. Number two, I was not expecting that to be what he wanted to tell me.
Yeah, I guess it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, it could have been way worse. I expected way worse. I was like, here we go. Because of my bald head and, you know, I look tougher than I actually want to be. And he's going to think I'm like trying to challenge him or something. It was hilarious.
Good story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, one of the things I always get from bands is, what is your favorite road snacks? So what do you guys like?
I mean, we are the least pickiest band in the world. We like anything, but I'll tell you what I like. I like dark chocolate, but you can't bring me that because it'll melt in the band.
Unless
I eat it quick. So like maybe like one. But the biggest thing, I like sunflower seeds. And the reason why I do the sunflower seeds is because it helps me keep me up. Mm-hmm. Like if we're on like a little bit of a late night drive or something, I eat sunflower seeds. But I'm sure the guys would say like, you know, energy drinks, Gatorade, water, you know, chips, trail mix. Yeah, we're the least pickiest band in the world.
Okay. So. One more story.
Okay.
We were at CBJM Loud and Proud Festival, and they closed up catering on you, didn't they?
They did. Yes, they did.
I just remember you coming up going, we're hungry. Giant guys standing around me going, we're hungry.
Yeah, we can't eat until after we play. Okay. You know, obviously, the concert goers, we get a totally different type of show if we eat before we play. You know, we have to eat afterwards. But yeah, they close it up. That's the curse sometimes whenever you play later. You know, they usually want to feed you early, but you can't really eat unless it's like way early. And then you have to like kind of go, okay, it's got to be at least 3 to 4 hours before we play, especially when you're a screamer. Yeah, we got done with that show and we exhausted all the energy we had left. And we're like, we could go for some food right now.
I went and found the chef and he was like, I'm sorry. And I was like running around trying to find somebody that had some authority. Anyway, we got permission to go out. And so we got to go out and eat currywurst and bratwurst outside at one of the little food trucks. That was so fun.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, it was pretty dope. Yeah. And it was like a first for us. So we were like, hey, and one, it was awesome. Number two, we were just hungry and ready to eat anything at that point. We were like, this is incredible. We're all in. And it was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great memory for me. I enjoyed doing that. And I also enjoyed watching the fans that realized who was over there at the food truck. I came over to get pictures with you.
Aww.
And on that note, got to let you go.
You're a sweetheart.
I appreciate it.
All right. You have a nice night. Good night.
You too. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening tonight. Stay tuned for more great music all night long. Be sure to check out my I'm With Mothership Facebook page and Solid Rock Radio's website. Follow the link under shows to Backstage with Mothership, which will have the links to my guests' social media accounts. This show will be replayed at 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Past interviews available on podcast.solidrockradio.org, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on Pandora platforms. And remember this week, be kind to one another.